That'll be evident here as we move along.
Yes, it will be. Teaching's going to be like the computer system here. All right. This morning, I wanted to talk to you this morning about the Holy Spirit. We know that we have a God, one God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And one of the things, I mean, we talk about God the Father all the time. We talk about Jesus a lot. And I'm talking about myself, but this is generally, I think, correct. And so much is written about God the Father, God the Son, and not as much about God the Holy Spirit. And what you read about God the Holy Spirit is the forgotten God. And we're always talking about how we don't realize and we don't give and exalt the Holy Spirit as much as we do God the Father, God the Son. So this morning, I really wanted to see if I can't kind of just remind us. And again, every time I come up here and said for Jim, I always tell you, I have nothing new for you. I Ecclesiastes is how there's nothing new under the sun anyway, but I always love to hit reset buttons. And I need that in my life. And we all need that. And so that's the purpose. That's always my goal. Not to try and teach you something you don't know, because I don't think I can do that. This is a very smart, wise crowd. So this morning I do want to talk to you, and I wish we had the slide up, because Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And that is a key verse, because that verse says a lot about what our responsibility is and how we're to live as a Christian. As believers in Jesus, we struggle. We struggle to walk in the Spirit while we're still down here robed in this flesh. And we will always be like that. And Paul talked about that in Romans 7. In Romans 7:15, Paul says, "For I do not understand what I'm doing, for I'm not practicing what I want to do, but I do the very thing I hate." And in verse 18, he says, "For I know that good does not dwell in me, that is in my flesh, for the willing is present in me, but the doing, the doing of the good is not." And then down in verse 19, just to paraphrase that one real quick, he said, "The good that I want to do, I don't do, but the evil which I don't want to, that I do." Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Yes. We're all guilty of that. And again, as long as we're in this robe, we're going to struggle with that until God lifts us out of here and gets us out of this flesh, and he gets us robed as we're to be robed, and we get that glorified body and just totally removed even from the presence of sin. I'm looking forward to that. I really am. And the older I get, I look more and more forward to that. Now, as Christians, we know that God has given us a very high standard to live by. We shouldn't expect just, hey, one day God's going to give us a glorified body. We're going to be sinless. He gave us a standard to live by while we're down here. And, our life down here should be preparing for the life up there. We should be doing things that are getting us ready. And we should be living as if we're in the presence of God, because we are in the presence of God. The Holy Spirit is indwelling us. So as Christians, that standard that God has given us is this. Matthew 5:48 says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." And then 1 Peter 1:16 says, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, those are not verses that are given to us for when we get to heaven. Those are verses that are given to us here, now. And that's what we're to live by. And that is God's standard. Is this microphone going out? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. My hearing, yes. Okay. Now, I don't think that God gave us, even though that is the way we're to live, I don't think that God gave us those standards, that better, to discourage us. God's not like that. He's too loving to ever be unkind. So those verses were given to us, knowing that we can't live a life of sinless perfection. When we get saved, and I've said this before, when we get saved, and as we start growing in Christ, that process of sanctification, where we get closer and closer to the Lord, and we start absorbing all those things that are spiritual, we're never going to be sinless. But hopefully, we're going to sin less. This thing is falling, isn't it? Okay. Hopefully, we're going to, again, not be that word sinless. We can never be, but we're going to, two word, sin less. Okay. So what we need to do to sin less is to walk in the Holy Spirit.
You got it, Dad.
You got it? Oh, boy. So God had you guys come here this morning. And I so appreciate it. Thank you so much, Adam.
That membership form out.
So you'll take over. There's no mouse, you know, so it's so difficult.
I got it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah. You're in hand. Somebody take part of life.
Bob. Okay. Where was I? All right.
Barry,
so
don't hit reset or anything.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to touch anything unless if I have to. Okay. So we're talking about that standard of perfection. And so let me say this. That is why Jesus had to leave the glory of heaven to come down here to earth and live a life, a sinless life of perfection, so that we could be given his perfect righteousness. And to fulfill that requirement that God has for us to be in his presence. And that is our position, again, right now. He's giving me messages. Okay, let me do that. Got it.
Just go by the slide there.
So got it and exit out of
got it.
Right here. Exit out of this one.
Exit.
Oh, exit out, that the help thing.
That's all.
We're good?
Go by the slide.
Okay. All right.
Settle down as well. Yeah,
yes. It. All right. Sorry, a little bit discombobulated, but we'll get there. We'll get there. So, so we have the imputed righteousness of God, right? Of Jesus. And that is, again, what allows us to go into heaven. And we, God can't have sin in his presence. So we're clothed in that righteousness of Christ when we get there. That's all been taken care of because of what Jesus has done for us. But again, because of that standard being so high, because of our weakness of our sinful flesh, our only hope of coming anywhere near that standard, which we are to live now, is to be filled and to walk in the Holy Spirit. The only way we can possibly live the Christian life is in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, I know you know this, but it's important to hear it again. It's important that we get things like that repeated to help us understand that it's important and that we need to refresh. Like I need to refresh the screen. We need to refresh all the time, and we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, not just indwelled, but filled. And we're going to talk about that specifically in just a minute. 1 John 2:6 makes the point. The one who I'm going to forget doing all this. There we go. John 2:6 says, the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Again, it's talking about here and now, and we're to walk as Jesus walked when he was here on this earth. Now, this is a long passage, but I really want to read this because it's just crucial to what we're talking about this morning. Romans 8:3-14. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are in accord with the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who are in accord with the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We cannot please God in our own flesh. You know what the Bible says about our own righteousness is in filthy rags. So there's nothing we can do in the flesh that's ever going to please God. You know, I remember a statement, it just came to me that Dr. Boa made in one of Ben's Friday morning studies about, you know, oh, wow. It's impossible. Help me, Bob. We can please God. There's a lot of things that we can do. We can't impress God. We can't come to him in our own flesh and do anything, but there's a lot of things we can do down here to please him. And if we're in the flesh, that's not going to happen. We have to be in the spirit. And so verse 9, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead, get this now, this is a very important, we're going to read this verse again in a minute. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. I've read that verse a million times, and it just, because I was doing this study, it just bang hit me.
Very, and I think in mentoring, this is so important that we are able to help young people. There's nothing that we can't accomplish within the will of our of God for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to give that to these young people. They have that power if they plug in.
Exactly. And they're not going to have it if they don't plug in. Never. Verse 12. So then, brothers and sisters, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Or if you are living in accord with the flesh, you are going to die. But if the spirit you are putting to death, the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons and daughters of God. Now, there is so much to unpack in that passage. Profoundly simple, but profoundly complex. Now, we know the reason that the law can't save anybody is it depends on this human flesh, human obedience. And we know that no good thing dwells in our flesh. So the law does not empower anyone to do anything. It just points out our weakness. It's kind of like, you know, when you have a child, when you're raising your child and you say, don't you go in that corner and touch that plant, and they're a toddler. And then you walk out. If you could secretly watch, what are they going to do? First thing they're going to do is look around and they're going to run over there and touch that plant, what you told them not to do. And we're the same way. I mean, God looks down at us and we're the same way, even as adults. And that's all the law did. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. You can do this. Don't do that. And it just makes our flesh want to go do all those things that we're not supposed to do. But not if we're living in the flesh. I mean, in the spirit. So in order to overcome that, God sent his son in the likeness of flesh, sinful flesh, fully God, fully man. He came and he paid the penalty. And he paid the penalty so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. So really, I want to point something out here in this passage, because really, Paul is not really talking so much about Jesus perfectly keeping the law, which he did. And he's really not talking so much about his righteousness imputed to us, which it is. But get this, what Paul is saying, I think, here, or if I'm wrong in my direct interpretation, there's an application here. I believe sometimes there's only one interpretation of a scripture, but there could be 1,000 applications of that scripture. But I think what Paul is saying here is the requirement of the law can now be fulfilled as we walk not according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. So that's the bottom line here, which is this: the only way that we can live the Christian life is in the power of the Holy Spirit. So that is why it's important to talk about this, to recognize this, and to acknowledge God, the Holy Spirit, and not just all the time think about God, the Father, God, the Son. Now, if we're going to get anywhere near that perfect standard that God has set, because we're commanded to walk as he walked, then we have to walk in the Spirit. And this is how we can live the Christian life. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Got a lot of repetition here, and I wanted that because I want you to walk out of here thinking about this. It's the only way we can overcome our fleshly desires. So, and I hardly think that any of us, if we're honest, are really experiencing the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the degree that Jesus intended. He had high expectations for us. And so as we for the rest of the study, as we touch on who the Holy Spirit is and what he wants to accomplish in and through us, I want us to look also at his ministries and a few other things along the way this morning, because, again, without walking in the Spirit, we're really missing out on God's best for our lives. Now, John chapter 16 describes Jesus sending the Holy Spirit into the lives of believers. And this is there's several chapters right here in John where Jesus is just talking to his disciples. And this is shortly before Judas betrayed him. And what we're going to see here is him telling his disciples that he's going to leave, but he's also telling them and instructing them what's going to happen with the Holy Spirit. So it's just as Jesus, as God sent Jesus down to the earth, Jesus is fixing to send the Holy Spirit into the lives of believers. So John 16:7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you," and this is Jesus talking, this is all red letter stuff here, "it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." Now, the Comforter is what is mentioned next, what we just read. This discussion with the disciples, it spans, again, several chapters. And chapters, and if you look in chapters 14 through 16, three times Jesus uses this word Comforter. He refers to the Holy Spirit as the Comforter. And he knew, Jesus knew. I think the last time I talked, I spoke on trials and things like that. And Jesus knew that he knew what his disciples were fixing to go through. And he knows every day what you and I go through. The beauty of knowing that he came down here and he lived, that he was tempted in all manner like we were, you know, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those are the three just general areas that the Bible talks about. Just about every sin that we can commit falls under those three. And Jesus was tempted in every way. He wasn't tempted with every single sin that we are. Not always tempted with every sin you are. But in all manner of sin, he was tempted. So he knows what we're going through down here. And he wanted us to know that he wasn't going to leave us alone. He was still going to be with us, in us, and would never leave nor forsake us. And so just a note here to remember, the Holy Spirit's ministry is not to keep us from trials, but it's to help us go through those trials. And he does that. So he was sent to teach us. He is to teach us those things Jesus taught us and give us understanding of the scripture. And I believe the Holy Spirit just longs for this capacity within us. He wants for you and me, as we go through daily decisions, even the small ones. I ran with a guy in college that he was a great Christian guy, math major. He just had this, one of those beautiful minds. He was just strange. He really was, but he was just so smart. And he loved the Lord. And when he would talk to me, I mean, this guy, he intimidated me because he was so smart. But when he talked to me, he would talk to me like a child when he got into spiritual manners. And it just really always gripped me. They brought home some ice cream and put it in the freezer, and he asked me if I wanted some. I said, yeah, that'd be good. And served that ice cream, and he sat and prayed the most beautiful prayer, thanking God for that ice cream. And I was just like, it was amazing. And he went to God on every little thing. And I was so impressed by that. I mean, I remember that 50, whatever, some years ago, and it just is a vivid memory to me. Thanking God for all the little things, going to God for all the little decisions that he needed to make. And if we're walking in the Spirit and we have those decisions to make, God is going to bring scriptural principles. He's going to bring biblical principles, and he's going to help us to make decisions. He's going to do that for us if we'll go to him, if we're walking in the Spirit with him. But, you know, we really need to put those scriptures in our mind. It's getting harder and harder for me to memorize new verses. I just like to quote the old ones, the ones I memorized when I was a kid. And because it's really getting difficult to memorize new scripture. But it's amazing how God, he just, Linda and I were out one time. Listen, I'm getting off base and I don't need to chase rabbit trails. But Linda and I were out one time knocking on some doors, and we were going canvassing a neighborhood. We were knocking on doors, people coming to the doors, and we were talking to them. And depending, you know, always have that leading question, but it just depends on who it is and how they open that door and how they approach you. But sometimes it's not nice. But there was a guy that came to the door, another intellectual guy, and he everybody's intellectual to me. I'm not an intellectual, so it's easy for me to say that. But this guy came to the door, and we would always usually kind of start with, hey, you know, tell them where we're from, what we're doing, and you know, try to get around to, hey, if you were to die today, you're 100% sure you'd go to heaven. I love that question, because when you get an answer, well, I think so. Yeah, I'm a pretty good person. Bah, 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 bah. You know they're not saved. And so we asked this guy, and he just immediately put his nose up in the air and started talking to us about the Bible, the beginning of the Bible, Westcott. Linda had just been studying all this because she was teaching. We homeschooled our kids, and she was teaching our kids about the Bible and where it came from, and all the origin of everything. And he said something that wasn't right. And one day I just studied this, and she corrected him. Not like, oh, no, you're wrong. She just said, well, you know, it's funny that you should bring this up, because I've just been studying this with my kids and blah, blah, blah. And when she did that, it just brought this guy down to earth. And he started listening to us, and he was ready to get rid of us, but he engaged us. And we spent, I don't know how long at that door with that guy. He never asked us in, but I guarantee you we were there 35, 40 minutes talking to this guy. He didn't run us off. And we started talking to him, and I was quoting scripture that I didn't know. I didn't know those verses, but they were coming to mind, and I was giving them, and the same thing was happening in London. And we walked away. The guy never did anything. He thanked us for coming, and we invited him to our church, and then we walked away. But we're going down that driveway, and we're just looking at each other, and it's like, where did that come from? Well, what did you, do you know? Did you know that? I don't know that verse. And then we were just walking on cloud nine, because we experienced, that was an experience of the Holy Spirit bringing to mind and teaching us and allowing us to do some work for him in his name. And it was astounding. And I can think of several examples where that's happened over the years. So anyway, rabbit trail. He was sent to glorify Jesus. John 16:14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. So the Holy Spirit is to lift up the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, and bring glory to him. Now think about this for a moment. As Christians, and this is the point I was really trying to make just by that example, when we witness to those that God puts in our life, family, friends, grocery store, wherever, when we witness to those people, when Jim is up here normally teaching, all the teachers on this campus, all the teachers around the world, when they're teaching, when pastors are preaching, when missionaries are going out to the field where they go, when you and I as Christians model Christ-like behavior, and I used to say in the workforce, but not too many of us are in the workforce anymore. But in my office, I would always try to bear in mind that when I came there, I let those people know I was a Christian. And I know that there were certain people, because I worked there for a lot of years, that were always walking around kicking the tires, wanting to know if this is a good car. And I was always cognizant of the fact that they're watching me, they're looking at me, they're wanting to see how I respond to this terrible situation that just happened that we all got to handle. And I really believe with all of that that's going on, that the Holy Spirit is actively using that to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in the hearts of lost people, because that's his ministry. That's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit, one of them, to bring sinners to salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to look at it that way, that whatever we're doing and whatever situation we're in, the Holy Spirit's going to use that in the lives of the people that we're around. Jesus died. His blood was shed for the remission of sin. And we say this all the time, Jesus plus nothing is what gets us to heaven, right? And that's true. That is truth. But I want us to remember that, I don't want to sound charismatic here, I am not, but it's actually the Holy Spirit that takes that blood of Jesus Christ, and he's the one that is sprinkling it around. He's the one that is appropriating that blood of Jesus Christ to save people. So he's the one that sprinkles that blood on their conscience to make them realize that they're a sinner in need of a Savior. And again, it's the blood of Christ. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So it's the blood of Jesus Christ that saves us. It's what Jesus did on that cross that saves us. But it's the Holy Spirit that's using that to draw those people to Christ. So that's his ministry. Now, I'm gonna go quickly. I apologize for talking so fast here in a minute, but I know I'm going to have to. Bob Steinke played a big part in me doing this study this morning. When he found out I was teaching, he asked me if I would do a study on the Holy Spirit. And I started looking through my notes. I found something from 2008. That's where this came from, one of my personal studies. And Bob gave me, having my Bible, he gave me two cards from Ken Boa, Reflections Ministry. And it lists on those two cards 12 ministries of the Holy Spirit. Now, most of them I had in my notes, but I didn't have 12. But I wrote those down, and I really want to go through those. And we're going to, again, each one in that card, it lists the ministry of the Holy Spirit and it lists a verse or two. I can't do all of those, but we may be cutting through some of these, but I really want to go through them. And Bob, I can't remember if he said he's going to give me 1,000 or 1,200 to do this study, but I remind him to get there. I'm kidding. Especially visitors. I shouldn't be doing that. I'm sorry. But anyway, the first one is convicting, which we've kind of talked about already. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts unbelievers to make them aware of their sinful condition and their sin and their need for a Savior. He convicts and he convinces sinners about the reality of Jesus Christ and the certainty of their coming judgment. Again, this is coming from Ken Boa's Reflection Ministry, but it's coming from the Bible. John 16:8, and when he has come, he will reprove or convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So it's the Holy Spirit that convicts a sinner of his sin, saved and unsaved. You know, we don't, when we get saved, we don't stop sinning. And the Holy Spirit convicts us as well to go to First John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He does that. So that's one of his ministries. The second one is regenerating. The Spirit gives us new life, God's life, through the new birth, which gives us the divine nature as a child of God. That makes us a part of the family of God, being born again. That expression, being born again. We're born spiritually dead. But when we accept Jesus Christ and come into our life, we get a new life. We are born spiritually. We're regenerated, become a new creature in Christ. So Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness, that which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. The third one is baptizing. By the Spirit, all believers in Christ have been baptized into one body and adopted by the Holy Spirit into the family of God. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we're all baptized, one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, that word baptism, as you know, it means not baptized, but baptism means immersion. It means to submerge. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I don't want that to be confused with the water baptism, the baptism that when we get saved and we, that's an act of obedience and ordinance of the church. We do that out of obedience to what God told, Jesus told us to do. This baptism is when we receive Christ by faith. We are submerged by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. He is in us. We are in him. He places us in Christ by that spiritual baptism. So the next one is sealing. The Holy Spirit seals us. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In Ephesians 1:14, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. When we were born again, we immediately, instantaneously became heirs of all of the promises of God. And I don't even think we know all the promises of God. John.
Salvation and having the Holy Spirit is a synonym.
There you go. Thank you. And the promises of God and the salvation, one of them, once we get saved, we know where we're going. But God gives us the Holy Spirit as a down payment. You know, there's some promises we can't get yet. You know, I understand from reading that he's got a mansion up there built for me, but I can't take possession of that until I'm there. I'm going to get a glorified body. I don't get that promise fulfilled until I get there. So there's promises that, but we get all of them. We become heir to even those that we can't put our hands on right now. But we're heir to all of those. And that is that's our position. We stand as an heir, co-heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the next one is indwelling. The Spirit of God indwells all believers in Christ so that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in us. Romans 8:9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. That's one of those mind-blowing things. It's when I read that, I just know that. I've heard it so many times. I'm just so aware of that. But isn't it neat to know that God in the person of the Holy Spirit is living inside of us? He goes where we go.
And sealed. It's a beautiful.
And sealed. It's instantly, it's permanently, and there's nothing you can do. You're a believer. You truly made that decision. You truly believe. There's nothing you can do. You've got the Holy Spirit, and he's never going to leave. He's never going to forsake you. And just like in the Old Testament, he chose to dwell in those temples, and as they were moving from out of Egypt, the tabernacles that were built. But now, this is it. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in us during this New Testament age. So, knowing that, that he's inside of us, we're just more than enabled to grow in Christ and walk in the Spirit. Six, filling. We are filled by the Holy Spirit. We're under his control. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit produces the fruit of Christian character and maturity. And these verses here are just talking about how it's pointed out that wherefore, brethren, look ye among your seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit. These verses, I'm not going to read the rest of these, but it's just it's pointing out that you can be full of the Holy Spirit. And again, I talked a little bit a while ago about the filling and the fullness of the Holy Spirit is not to be confused with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Those are two different things. You know, when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us, as we said, instantly, permanently. And we got all of the Holy Spirit wherever we're going to get it. He's there, all of him. We don't get saved and get a little bit, and as we grow, we get a little bit more and we get a little bit more. No, we get all there is to get. To measure the filling, though, to be filled with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, what we have to do is seek to empty out ourselves, empty out the flesh, and be filled up and controlled by him. So we're filled by the Holy Spirit, as we empty ourselves of ourselves and yield and allow him to fill us. So we've got him. It's just a matter of, I think of that when I was a kid. I know somebody did this, probably Vacation Bible School or something. You know, they had a glass of rocks and then they had another glass equal size of water. And they started, and the water representing the Holy Spirit, and started pouring in that glass of rocks. And it didn't hold a whole lot of that water. But then they started dipping out some of those rocks and indicated our flesh and ourselves. And as they emptied that out and totally emptied that out, it held the whole glass of water. And it was an illustration that I still remember this day. And that's basically what we have to do. We have to empty out ourselves so that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's just a lot of garbage in there, right? A lot of things in this world that just fill us up. So when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not that we have more of him. It's just that he has more of us. That's the point. Next one is empowering. And this one really is just another aspect of the filling. This one I didn't have, but I like what he says. Ken Boyd, he says it relates to his sovereign and surprising power for ministry and word and deed, or word and action. And the verses he has listed here, like in chapter 4, this is where Peter had preached and the 5,000 were saved. And it said, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. And the point is, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're empowered to do mighty things when we're filled with the Spirit and when we're walking with the Spirit. It's not just that he reminds us of things, and does things. It's those things that we do. He takes and he magnifies those things and does things with those way beyond what we would have the capability of doing ourselves. So the next one is assuring. The Spirit testifies to the truth of our life in Christ and bears witness that we are children of God. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. 1 John 3:24, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And 1 John 5:7, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. That's where the verse, you know, you don't find the word Trinity in the Bible, but that's where we get it from right there. That's the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the next one is illuminating. The Spirit of God who inspired the scripture also illuminates the scripture so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 16. Again, I don't have time to read all this, but let me read these last two. But he that judges, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When I read that verse, it takes me back to, again, a long, long time ago. It was a lady that was trying to get Lynn and I to do something, a Christian lady, and we didn't feel led to do that. And she let us know that she had the mind of Christ and that we should listen to her. And I told her, I think she was misapplying that verse. But anyway, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So through him, we can know, we can understand, we can have wisdom, spiritual wisdom, because of him inside of us. So we have scripture, again, to read, to memorize, to meditate, to ruminate. Just like that cow, with the cow, have like seven stomachs or something, and it just keeps going from one to the other. And, you know, like a cow chewing his cud, you know, it comes back up and they chew it, and it goes back down and they come back and they chew it. That's what we have to do. I love that example with it's what we need to do with God's word. And the more we do that, if you think about it, the more of God's word that we have in us, and then the Holy Spirit inside of us to use it, that's how we're walking in the Spirit. Because we've got everything we need. I mean, I so admire people like Ken Ball. And I don't want to put him on a pedestal. I mean, he's a man. But he's just, you know, and God brought him that way. You and I, there's engineers, there's CEOs, there's, you know, lots of engineers, doctors, and you know, supply chain managers. That's what I did. But God there's some people like him that just fully give themselves, and he's got, he had a rough background to start with, but when he got saved, he just reminds me of a sponge. You know, you put a sponge in water, when you pick it up, it's just dripping, saturated. And that's what we need to be. We need to be saturated with the Word of God, and with the Holy Spirit in us, we're going to make those decisions. We're going to do the right thing, and that's how we can walk in the Spirit. Sin less, not sinless. Sin less. All right. So he illuminates the Scripture, so we don't really need the human wisdom, if there is such a thing. I mean, human knowledge is what we have, but we can use the wisdom of God taught to us by the Spirit of God. And that basically, I think, is what that verse means, is that we have the mind of Christ. We have Jesus in us, and we have the Word. We have the full revelation, Genesis, the revelation. We have it. So the next one is teaching. And really, again, already talked about this one. So let's go to the next one. Praying. because we do not know how to pray as we should, the Spirit intercedes for us. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I know everyone in here has experienced that. There are some times when there's a situation in life, and maybe it's a prayer, maybe you're praying for someone else, and you just don't know. You just don't know what to pray for. It can be a health situation. It could be something else. And you just don't know. And
this,
so
this is so comforting to yes. know that pray and the Holy Spirit takes that message to God.
That's exactly.
Exactly what we need. And
exactly.
It's so comforting.
Because he does know what we need. And he does know what the outcome of that's whatever right. we're praying about. He knows what the outcome needs to be in order for it to be what we all not necessarily want, but what's the best thing.
We can mutter anything, but the right thing we go to God.
Exactly. Exactly. And so we have access through Christ to the Father, or through him in Ephesians 2:18, we both have access by one Spirit into the Father. And then lastly, gifting. The manifold gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to the faithful. 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. So it is the Holy Spirit, according to those verses, who decides what gifts each of us get. And he gives us those gifts. I don't know if you've ever done, I've not done this here. I did this many, many years ago to find out what my spiritual gift was. They have place, is that what it's called, here? And if you've never gone through that, I've never been to this one, but I would do that, because if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, you're missing out. You may be, I'm up here teaching, and this is not my gift. But my gift is serving. And when Jim needs somebody and he asks me to do it, I have a problem saying no, even though I don't feel capable, because it's not my gift. But maybe God's given me a little bit. And sometimes we have one talent, two talents, three talents, five talents, whatever. But you need to find out what your gift is, because if your gift is teaching and you're out serving, you're not being used of God, that the Holy Spirit, as much as you could be. Now, again, you can have lots of gifts and you can share in all of them, but really you need to hone in and find out what the Holy Spirit has specifically gifted you with, so you can use it to serve the Lord. Now, I apologize for those. I have some other things, but it's 10:20, so I'm gonna end right here. And again, as Christians, let's not be content that our sins have been forgiven, our home is in heaven, and let's not settle for just a little bit of empowerment. I mean, we could have a lot of empowerment, and we need to purpose in our lives, avoid doing things and having attitudes that would grieve the Holy Spirit. I have a slide that talks about all the things. The Holy Spirit's like a person. You know, we can grieve him, we can quench him, we can spite him, we can do a lot of things against him. And we don't want to be guilty of that. So I'm going to pray, and it's 10:20, and we will stop. And thank you. I apologize for all the mishaps. And thank you again.
Thank you, Barry.
Amanda, correcting me. Thank you. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for giving me the time just to be able to do this, Lord. You know, it's not something that's easy for me, but I know the power of the Holy Spirit, it can be done. And I pray that each one of us, as we walk out of here, Lord, we'll walk out into that minefield out there and just be cognizant all the time of the fact that you indwell us, that you love us. You'll never do anything. You love us too much to ever do anything unkind. And help us, Father, to walk in the Spirit, to be just always aware of that, and just look for opportunities to be able to share Christ and give the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to draw that person to Jesus and salvation. And Father, I just pray that you be with the services to follow, the preaching of your word. The most important hour we're going to have is this next hour as the preaching of your word goes out. And just pray if there's anyone over there that's not saved, Father, that you will save them as it goes out over the airways. I pray that people will be saved. And Lord, we just love you. We thank you and pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Barry.
You bet, Jim. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I'll end everything so you don't have to worry about it.
The scripture for the teaching of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
Thank you, Barry.
You bet. Praise the Lord. Thank you.